We've been joined by the fantastic folks from Glengarry, Tonchi and Aroha. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much.
As you may have heard on the airwaves the last couple of weeks, is it Australian Wine Month?
Oh, it is at Glengarry's.
Okay.
we kind of made it our thing.
I love it. That's good. That's good.
So we're running a trip at the moment, so you can win a trip for two to go to Adelaide. You get to tickets to the Fringe Festival in Adelaide.
Oh, sweet.
And then on the back of that, a guided tour through the Barossa Valley. So just going to a bunch of vineyards throughout the Barossa Valley. Pretty much sign up online or come in store and you can go on the draw to win that.
Tell me about the Barossa Valley. Why would I want to go there?
Well, the wine job.
Yeah. There's a few different reasons. I mean, A, it's normally a hell of a lot better weather than it is here. Mm-hmm. The trip's not run until, I believe it's March when the Fringe Festival's on, so okay. It will be nice summery weather. But you're looking at probably one of the original areas for wine production in the New World, which would be anywhere sort of outside of Europe.
Okay.
And they've got some of the oldest vines in the world, and a real sort of rich history behind production.
Are these like imported vines, or were they OG from Australia, like grown, and they're just that old?
No, I mean, most of the vines...
How does this work? Sorry, I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose... Grape vines in general come from probably somewhere between sort of France and Italy. Mm. The Romans really introduced wine across most of Europe when they were sort of rampaging, raping, pillaging, and growing vine.
I was going to say thank you, but I'm not going to now.
Yeah. Oh, they did a couple of good things. You know, we're not all perfect. And I suppose the ones that were imported here were imported into Australia were in the sort of late 1700s, early 1800s.
Okay. They already had a bit of heritage on them.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they would have been cuttings when they were brought over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even, was it Busby up in Northland? He bought vines over himself for New Zealand. So, I mean, pretty much anywhere there was sort of new people coming into a country colonizing, they brought something from home.
How far behind Australia are we on, like, historically on the winemaking?
I suppose they've probably got a richer heritage and more quality. Okay. You know, until probably 50s, 60s, New Zealand wine was pretty shit.
Really? Okay.
But so I believe there was a lot of table wine. It was illegal to buy less than two flagons in New Zealand before the 60s. So
what? So you had to buy heaps of wine.
If you went to the shop and you're like, I just want to take a bottle home, they're like, you have to buy the other 11.
Oh, wow.
It was illegal to sell less than that.
So obviously drinking culture hasn't always been bad.
Would you say the Kiwis were more like, give me some beer at that time rather than wine, or?
No, I mean, a lot of, Wiki. At that stage, I suppose there was a lot of Croatians in particular that were, you know, and other people from sort of the more France, Spain kind of area that were in New Zealand as well they came from a culture of drinking wine. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously the base of our population came from
there's
the English.
Still
and the
demand.
Scots,
still
Scots
demand.
For beer, but there was still quite a bit of that wine culture coming through, but it was produced at home for yourself.
Now, taking us to the modern era, would you say that New Zealand has caught up to Australia, or do they still have something like one up on us?
He already said that their quality is better. Do you really want him to like spell it out like it's awkward now?
It used to be better, I'd say. I mean, these days now you're probably looking at, you know, Australia's probably trying to refine its identity. It went massive in terms of, you know, you had Aussie Shiraz and every year it seemed to get bigger and bigger, more alcoholic. You know, like you're looking 15-16%, it was almost the same strength as a port. Now they're starting to dial that back and go more into sort of what a modern style Australian wine tends to be, sort of 13-14%. It's not heavy, like you can smell the alcohol. Mm-hmm. New Zealand wine, you know, I suppose we're well known overseas for a Sauvignon Blanc.
Is that that's
Pinot
a white wine?
Are fantastic. Yeah, it's a white wine.
Yeah.
White wine.
I
mean, if you look at something like a Pinot Noir from here, it's probably one of the leading grape varieties in New Zealand. We produce
I think I like Pinot Noir.
Yeah, I mean, they're like cherries.
Yeah,
like cherries.
Yeah.
And
I like Merlot as well, because for me, it's the most sort of a knight in a castle type of wine. And so I feel the vintage in it.
Yeah, I mean,
just in the name. Have you given us plastic cups?
Yeah, I didn't want you to break it.
Is that a trust issue?
I figured instead of
it looks like glass. Like this is what you hand out at these sort of high heel events out in the going watching the horses.
I didn't want to turn up with just wine bottles and a box of broken glassware.
John doesn't know his own strength with his hands, so he just crushes stuff.
You've actually done the right thing. You have brought the right glasses for the occasion.
Now, in that you didn't bring glasses.
Well, they're not glasses. Well, yeah, everyone gets what I'm saying. Hey, now, you've poured us. What have you poured us? What have we got?
How do I drink it, by the way? I'm just going straight in. Am I supposed to put my nose in there and muck around? Are we doing that or what?
To be honest, it's all up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Okay. I told Aroharan on the way in, I said the last thing I was going to be is a wine wanker.
No, so, hey,
you need to swirl it with your pinky out. That kind of bullshit. None of that.
Actually, it's not too front foot for a wine.
To be honest,
it's kind of mellow.
To drink a wine or to analyze a wine, if you're doing it seriously, you'd look at it first. You look at the color of it, then you go swirl, have a sniff.
I did all
and
that.
And then. Yeah. That. Drink it and then just pretty much roll it around your palate, suck a little bit of air in, and then swallow
it. Spit it out in disgust.
Yeah.
Demand
this
another
is gross.
One. Yeah, fair enough.
Now,
this is a good one.
This has actually got a little bit of date on it. This is 2014. This is a
great year.
What do I call it? A Villages Chardonnay from the Yarra Valley.
Yeah, so Yarra Valley.
I've driven through there. They got the oranges and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably one of the cooler climates in Australia, being sort of in Victoria, not far from Melbourne. So it's a really good area for Chardonnay, which we're having at the moment. This one's, for me, it's sort of citrus. It's got a lovely sort of citrus note.
And this is highly drinkable. I don't
really,
like white wine.
It's really,
this is totally
really
doable.
Smooth. Usually with a Chardonnay, it's quite sweet and tangy.
Yeah, I get like, whenever I do white wine, it kind of goes imagining at this. Me a little bit.
Chardonnay is normally dry, but normally they are quite oaky.
You're a bit...
We went for a stage of, thank God we're past the ABCs, which was anything but Chardonnay.
Oh, okay.
But which was literally because every year it's like they put more...
Was that like the white pants era of Chardonnay?
Yeah, pretty much. White pants, pink shirt.
Oh, get out of there. What are you doing?
Good well-shaved mullet.
Back there, actually.
Party on. Yeah, I've got some white jeans. I should get them out.
Just don't drink red wine around them. But
that's true, actually.
That one, I mean, it's
another awesome. Reason to get on this Chardonnay. Yeah.
Sort of slightly nutty characteristics coming through. It's got sort of white floral notes, but just a really easy drinking. I mean, that's for 2014, so you're looking 4 years down the track. Mm. It's had time to mature in the bottle.
It's kicking ass.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show if you don't drink your bottle of wine on the way home, it might get better.
Does white wine does white wine get better like red wine gets better?
It's hard to say.
Is it a case that they kind of made it in 2014, they didn't really like it at the time they parked it, and now we're drinking it now when they sort of got it out?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the wine itself. Like a Sauvignon Blanc, I'd drink within a year of it being produced.
Oh, right. Okay.
A Riesling or a Chardonnay, you'd probably say 5 years, 6 years tops.
Okay.
It really depends on how it's made too.
So that Chardonnay's priming.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably drinking the best I've had it.
It's wicked.
It's delicious. Yeah. Can I just say it's probably the best Chardonnay I've ever had?
And can I say that same thing? Because I've probably only had three Chardonnays.
I don't drink a lot of Chardonnay, but that's great.
Yeah, but that's a sign of really good quality winemaking, really.
Okay.
What's it called? Let's give them the good old
Chardonnay. So, Australia for the win on the Chardonnay front right now.
Di Bortoli.
Yep.
Villages Chardonnay from the Yarra Valley.
Certainly is.
2014.
It's $18.99 at the moment, so...
Holy moly, that's cheap.
There's seven and a bit drinks in here. Standard.
Okay. What's next on the deck?
Oh, hang on, what's the dimple like? I'm like checking the dimple. Oh, yeah, it's got a good dimp. Good. That is a good dimp.
I'm not sure I want to watch you do that.
Oh, yeah, look at that. It's an innie. That's an innie belly button right there. Oh, something's just pumped. Now, is it normal practice? Can I just go straight from a white to a red? I'm not going to lie, cause nothing's going to happen to me or anything.
No, nothing's going to happen to you. You'll be fine.
I feel like we need some cheese or something as well to go with it. Could you give us a good cheese match to go? Do you go red wine and cheese?
Is John's from the east side of town, by the way. I don't know if you
know. I love cheese. I'll eat cheese with anything.
Okay.
Especially the harder cheeses. I love them. But yeah, I'm not a huge one for trying to pick a different match for a cheese. I just eat all of them. All of the wines.
So this is a Shiraz, also known in New Zealand as a Syrah.
Oh, hey, actually,
it certainly is.
Can we just dispel the myth or confirm it? Is white wine you're supposed to sort of drink it cold, and red wine you're not? Or
the one thing you are meant to drink white wine chilled.
But it's cold anyway, right now.
New Zealanders drink it cold because most of the time it comes out of a beer fridge.
Yeah.
So a beer fridge, you're looking at between 3 to 4 degrees.
By the way, is a normal fridge.
Yep. Wine should be drunk slightly chilled, so we're talking about sort of 10 to 12 degrees.
Okay, so I should have I should dig a cellar underneath my house.
You've got one. You've got a little cellar. Definitely.
I've been trying to convince my brother-in-law. He's got a hot, the old concrete water tank.
Yep.
And you walk downstairs into his garage, and it's like right there in front of the bottom of the stairs. I'm like, cut a wall out, and I'll put all my wine in there.
We'll bunk it, her little sort of end of world.
He also doesn't drink much wine, so I know it's safe.
It's good.
Oh, this is also really smooth. So this is a Barossa Faith Shiraz from 2016. It's grown, made, and matured in the Barossa.
Yes, I mean, Barossa, this is here pretty much a quintessential Barossa Shiraz. It's
matured.
It's really ripe. You've got sort of really rich, round fruit. For me, it's got a little bit of sort of raspberry, blackberries, a little bit of black plum.
Okay.
And you like sort of a little bit of sort of chocolatey kind of note coming on the back.
I have got every single one of those things, actually.
Is that because I told you that?
Yes.
The power of suggestion.
I especially like the ones that are like you had me up until chocolate, and I was like, mate, there's no chocolate in here at all. Come on now. Like, when it's like, oh, there's plum, I feel like there could be plum in there. But
try it again. You'll find some. Just a sprinkle.
Hella cocoa, actually. I'm getting mad chocolate vibes. Don't know what you're doing. It's good. I tell you what, it's a nice red.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, for me, it's a not Shiraz. Not an over rich style. I mean, it's 14% alcohol. They can get a little bit higher than that, and the alcohol tends to come through mostly on the nose. You get quite a sharp sort of kick through to it.
Did we talk about how the caller was confirmed correct on the Shiraz?
We took a call earlier in the show off air about the Syrah and the Shiraz, and I was like, oh, mate, you're pulling my leg, but he was right.
He is correct. So Shiraz is pretty much Australians not being able to pronounce Syrah.
Idiots.
Yeah.
You know what they're like. They bastardize the English language.
Silly dum-dums.
But it's exactly the same grapes. If you grew that same vine in France or even in New Zealand, it would be called a Syrah. Now it's come to indicate a style. I mean, it's a much hotter environment in Australia, so you end up with grapes that mature and ripen a lot more, so you end up with sort of, as I was saying, that higher alcohol.
But also, they nickname everything like that, like Baz. It's just things like that. Everything's got a Baz or a, you know, that kind of
thing. They rename all sorts of stuff. There's a grape variety called Mavergeur, which for me, I think it's a beautiful French name, and they call it Mataro.
They don't speak good. Okay, they don't speak good over there, I think.
It's like, what are you doing?
Now, so both of these wines have been incredibly smooth. Is this, what's the price point on this one?
That's $19.99.
Okay, so this is kind of me stepping up from a $12, $13 wine, which I would find quite tart and sharp usually, up to like $18, $19, and just being like, yo,
yeah,
this is smooth traveling.
Yeah, normally when you step up from sort of even that, anything sort of sub 15 up to near that 20 point, you're starting to get fruit that's a better mix. So you're starting to get fruit that's ripened all the way through. When you're getting that cheaper point, they're like, well, what? we've got sort of 85% of our fruits at really good quality, but we still need a bit more to get up to the volume.
We'll just top it up with Ribena or something. Yeah.
And so that tart stuff will come from fruit that's not quite ripened.
Are you
so
talking
it's like
about,
you know, when you buy like a peach and,
well,
like,
what
and buttons, you're like, ah, oh, fuck, it's not ready yet.
What is country cask made of? Do you know? Is that just old Ribena?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's grape juice at all.
I mean, to be honest, got more like, vitamin C than Ribena, man. Can't say that.
Old table wine, I'm not sure. Shadow cardboard. Couldn't tell you, to be honest. The old medium white.
Now, this the final bottle of the evening.
Oh, it's got a little dimple on the neck.
I've been looking forward to this one. What is it?
Neck.
So this one is a aged tawny, which essentially is an Australian version of a port. It's a fortified wine. So,
hey, now you blew my mind with the explanation of port before.
Smells great.
It's a champagne sort of story, isn't it?
Port. Yeah. So I mean, they used to call any sort of fortified wine, which essentially by fortifying it, you're adding higher strength spirit alcohol into a wine and fortifying its strength.
Yeah.
It became famous in Porto in Portugal.
Right.
And they started making it elsewhere. I mean, especially in Australia, they've got a rich history of making it, but they called it port until recently, probably 8-9 years ago now, maybe a little bit longer, they had the name protected. So
buzzy.
They're no longer allowed to call it port in Australia, so now it's just a fortified wine.
Far out.
But they go through and they still use the same categorization for port. So this one here's a tawny, which essentially indicates the color of it. So it means it's had some barrel time. And tawny is.
Are you okay with
brown.
John pouring this?
Yeah, is I that, feel a bit rude, yeah, but I'm sort of getting in there.
Well, I got told to leave the bottles with you, so I'm sure you'll be able to pour it for yourself when I leave too, eh?
We'll figure it out.
Or do I need to come back and fill it up?
Look, we do make quite a few demands up here on the drive show. give me this, give me that, do that for me.
Gives it air.
Yeah, that's right. Texter, Australia is the only country that still calls Syrah Shiraz. Well, maybe not. I think we still jump on board with that kind of vibe, don't we? But it's just, that's the story of it.
Yeah, you'll find some wines from South Africa that are under the name Shiraz, but most of the time it's Syrah everywhere else.
Sweet.
Can you just give me
this is heavy on the nose,
a little
port.
Bit of life advice on port. When would I usually be drinking it? Is this kind of like a aperitif or aperitif or
it's
digestive?
More of a dessert wine.
Yeah.
So it's normally like you finish your meal, you sit down, have your cheese board to finish. Okay. That's the perfect time for a port.
I thought it was like a name.
I mean, for me, it's always been one that's like when you've kind of had a few mates around, had a barbecue, and then you pull out the bottle of port and sit around. Port goes in the middle of the
Disgust.
Table. And you sit there and have conversation until you've run out of port.
Port,
little port, little deck, little port.
Port has its port has its own glass, doesn't it? It's got like a it's tiny wine glass.
Normally, it'd come in a smaller glass.
Oh, it's sweet. So it's almost desserty, winey kind of.
Yeah. So like I was saying, so essentially they take this. In this case, it's red wine made from Grenache, and then they add a little bit of Mataro and Shiraz, and it's aged in Solera. So essentially, it's like a pyramid of triangle stack of barrels.
Right.
Yeah. And when they want to pour a bottle, 100 bottles, they would take enough from all the bottom barrels to make 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would fill that bottom row from the row above, and then they'd fill the top row down again.
Wow.
So you fill it up. So you don't get an age statement, you get like an average age because it's all mixed through.
Mm.
It's a Spanish style. That's how they age sherry.
This is quite grunty on the nose, but on the tongue, it's
slippery. What's taking the percentage up?
That it's literally they add spirit. Okay. So it's like an unaged brandy. So it's great, like neutral grape spirit.
I like it. It's like a really really grunty alcoholic raisin.
What's every single one of these numbers has been incredibly smooth.
And this is probably the progression of quite a grunty evening at someone's place. You start like late afternoon with the sun coming down with the Chardonnay, then slip into the red sort of with dinner and then have the port.
Are we going to see that in your music selection for the rest of the evening?
Yeah, yeah.
as you sit on the port.
Straight whiskey now. Yeah.
This is also delicious. So I reckon just run us through Australian Wine Month at Glengarry and what people can do to
cheap wines, what it looks like.
So like I was saying at the very beginning, we've got this this entire month sort of dedicated towards Australian wine. For the first time in a while, we've bought in a whole lot of wines that have never been in New Zealand before.
Okay. You guys already have heaps down there as well.
We've bought in quite a lot of new numbers. And to celebrate, one of the companies that we get these wines through is trumped up with that prize. So as I was saying, it's a trip to Adelaide, get to go to the Fringe Festival, and then afterwards go to a tour of the vineyards. So hopefully I'll be able to host.
Putting your bid forward.
All the people have heard it now, it must be true.
Idlehouse not going? Yeah. Oh wow.
Pretty much just either jump on the website or come in store to find out more details.
Okay. So you guys do have it's a membership?
Customer list. Yeah, it's pretty much. Let us email you, please.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. We won't bombard you.
Yeah, for sure.
Very nice.
All right. Awesome. Well,
get on down to Glengarry and check out the Australian wines on offer.
Glengarry, and I am very, very impressed with what you've brought in tonight. They're all bloody good.
I'm going to write down the name of that Chardonnay because I can do it. I can do that Chardonnay.
You don't drink white wine.
No, I don't. But I did. Now I can just hang out with normal
change
people.
Change your life.
And I get the impression that if people are somewhere inclined to collect wine, that there might be a few numbers that they don't usually see on the shelf.
Definitely. We've got some some wines that normally you can only buy from the cellar. So if you have to actually physically go to the vineyard to buy it and then bring it home yourself. So, for example, the St. Helet we're having now, we're having the Faith, but we've actually got their Black Clay, which is a number that we've never tried before, which is pretty much this guy on steroids. It's just pretty much a slightly bigger version. For anyone that's wanting to collect Australian wine, it's we've got some pretty amazing numbers in there that really blow you away. And I mean, compared to some of the French wines and all the other sort of the big boys, Australian wine ages really well.
Oh,
it's big, rich wines that tend to to be honest, they don't drink particularly well when they're young. They kind of need a little bit of time.
Okay.
So they kind of aim towards that. So they're a great one for somebody who wants to have wines for now to 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Kind of
nice
stuff.
Nice.
Well, we're kind of fortunate having Australia right there, aren't we?
Yeah.
And fortunate having Glengarry come up and give us wine. That was good.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tonchi, and thank you, Aroha. We'll see you in a month.
Silent partner in the corner.
My silent partner.